I'm Scott Robert Lim, and this is How I Create.
Welcome to This Is How We Create, a show that digs deeper into the creative life of contemporary artists of color. Discover what feeds their creativity and how they've found or are finding their artistic voice. Through these intimate and candid conversations, you'll gain insights into the lives of creative professionals of color that are hard to find anywhere else. Today on the show, we have international master photographer and Sony artisan Scott Robert Lim joining us to talk about how he learned to spot and create a catalog of opportunities as an artist, even when the unthinkable happens and income streams dry up. Scott Robert Lim is a certified educator and has over 70 international awards to his name. For the last decade, he has dedicated his career to developing world-class photographers and loves teaching photographers of all levels. As you'll be able to tell, Scott has an energetic and charismatic speaking style and is an industry leader in photography education. During our conversation, Scott shares how he's managed to create a life and a career on his own terms. Furthermore, he shares with us the thinking processes he uses to create a runway to success again and again and again. Today, we will talk a lot about pivot, one thing that we talk a lot about on this podcast, which is what do you do when things change, when everything you've known is different, and how do you need to change accordingly or pivot to meet opportunities that will be coming your way, or to create your own opportunities. All right, let's start the show. I'll see you on the other side. I am your host, Martine Severin. Welcome back to This Is How We Create. My guest today is Scott Robert Lim, my mentor, my teacher, my so many things. Scott, I am so pleased to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Well, I am very honored to be here, and we haven't chatted in a while, been keeping tabs on you, and I just love to see where you're going and so proud of you, and just can't wait for this interview to happen. We have so much to share.
We do. And Scott, oh my gosh, this is so embarrassing because you know me as a like teeny weeny baby photographer who did everything wrong.
No. You know, one thing about you, you are very intentional and serious about where you wanted to go and what you needed to do to get there. And I always appreciate that from you. And you always reached out to me and made an effort to pull me aside. Hey, let's go out to dinner or whatever. And that's great. So
yes, that's what stalking is all about, Scott. You didn't know that's what was happening. Well, Scott, I am so pleased to have you here. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is this great pivot you've made. Everyone knows you as a master teacher. Essentially, your job is to teach photographers how to be world-class photographers. You encourage them to step out of whatever box they have themselves in and go and be way beyond what they thought is possible. You've completely changed your business since the pandemic. Can you talk to me a little bit about some of the things that you've done differently?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I remember the pandemic hitting, and I guess when they canceled the NBA season, it became official. And literally a day after that, I got all these calls canceling everything that I had booked for the year, you know, all my speaking engagements, all my weddings, everything cancel. And nobody knew what the future was going to be back then. And I remember going up to the room with my wife and we had a private moment. I just started breaking down. I just said, I don't know what's going to happen. I felt like a failure. I felt like, you know, honey, we could lose everything. Cause I was pretty much the sole financial provider at that time. And I just didn't even know how things were going to come through, you know, but that is so much like life. I guess you can call it living on Easy Street, where I've established myself and I was regularly getting booked. I had a regular routine on how I made my money. And then sometimes life comes along and just cuts the legs from under you. And I don't care where you are or how much success you have, life has a way of just bringing these curveballs to you, and you've got to learn how to adjust. And this was a pretty big one, and I wasn't sure at that point. And then I realized that about 4 months ago, I had started this digital product of taking Scott Robert Lim 3.0, I guess, at this point, and putting it on videotape. I had a lot of stuff on Creative Live, but it was quite old. I think the last time I did something was on 2014 or something like that, or 2016. It's quite a while ago. So I had this marketing company approach me and said, hey, you know, we love your stuff. Can you put something together? And I said, yes, of course. And because I was so busy, I kept putting it off. But now COVID hit, and it's like, I had all this time. I had nothing but time to put it together. So I had my producer and I get together, and we put together 45 hours of content, from posing to composition, lighting, and even post-processing. So I got to lay down kind of my techniques that I have been developing over the past 20 years, put it all down, and then my marketing company got to work and started marketing that. And that really took probably at least 8 months in total, putting everything together. Released during COVID, and through the success of that, I was able to get through and move on. And now that COVID's opening back up again, I can go back to some of my regular things. And also at that same time, with a friend, I had been in the process of writing a book. We also got together and was able to finish that. And so we're kind of on the final stages of finishing that too. So I think the key thing is, when you're an entrepreneur, you always have to be thinking forward on doing things, not in the present, but also have projects set up in the future too. Because a lot of times these things in the present will be taken away. And then now what are you going to rely on? So if I've always had this kind of philosophy of having like 10 things in the oven cooking to see which is going to feed me that day. And COVID hit and it took like 8 of them away. So I had a couple of them that I was working on, and one of them I was able to financially gain from in a reasonable amount of time, which was helped me survive during that pandemic. So that's really how I kind of transitioned. But if you think about it, it was my 20 years of preparation of getting to the point where I could lay down that content. And so you could say, well, oh yeah, just go do a video series or just, you know, do whatever. But if you're not prepared to do what you want to pivot to, it's not going to happen. That's why it's so important to continue to learn your craft, continue to push forward in other avenues and seeking out other networking opportunities, and to keep all these things going all the time. You never get a break, really. And I think the key is you have to love it. I mean, my job is, I kind of feel like it's 24/7, but when you love something, when you have a passion, it's just natural. You know, I love meeting people. I love networking. I love going out to lunch with people and discussing new ideas. I love going to conventions and walking around the vendor area and talking to every single vendor and seeing how maybe I can help them in some way. And so I'm always doing that stuff. And I think that helps me pivot regardless with wherever I am. I mean, if you're going to have a 20-year career in an artistic industry, you got to learn how to pivot, because technology and social media, everything changes. The landscape changes every 2 or 3 years, and you have to be able to just change with it and not get discouraged by these changes.
Well, I've always admired you for being a person who pivoted, who always knew where he was going and was always doing so many different things. I think that's why I felt like you were a kindred spirit. My question for you is, have you always been that type of person, the one to always think about growing and the one who, aside from photography, I should say, have you always been the type of person to look for different ways to grow and to enrich yourself and to better yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty optimistic person, and I think I always want to evolve and wanted, I think for me, I always wanted to live my life on my own terms. It wasn't me about being rich and having an amazing house and all that kind of stuff and a lot of things and the boat and the house and, Italy or whatever. It wasn't really about that. It was about being able to provide for my family, of course, but work on my own terms, set the career that I want where I could be passionate about it. And I think that drove me just trying to be independent forces you to take on several hats because you got to do everything at being an entrepreneur, especially. And as an entrepreneur, you have to guarantee a certain amount of income every single month. And if you're an entrepreneur, you know you're going to be short some months and you're going to be like, okay, this is not bringing in this particular area of my business is not bringing in that much money right now. What can I do to offset that loss from there? And so you're always trying to create several revenue streams just so you could have a stable career. Whereas a person who works for a company or whatever, they get their salary, they say, hey, focus on this. But as an entrepreneur, you have sort of an idea in your mind, but you don't know if it's going to happen or not. So consequently, you kind of go towards what's making you some money, but then you also have to try some other things just in case that doesn't always come through. Just being an entrepreneur forces you to create several revenue streams just in case something happens to one of them.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is the storyline from when you transitioned from the previous job that you had, the previous career that you had, to becoming a photographer to teaching. Can you I don't think I've ever heard you tell the story of how that happened.
Yeah, I think very early in my just life, I knew I always wanted to be an educator. Obviously the traditional route of being the only Asian college dropout in the world, being an educator, I wanted to be a high school teacher and teach math and physics, believe it or not. That was my goal in life. But after dropping out of college, that wasn't going to happen right away. So I had to pivot on one. Okay, I got to earn a living somehow. What could I do? That took me forever. That took me 12 years just to figure that out. And then I found photography where I could hang my hat and earn some decent, a decent living and provide for my family. But I always had educating in the back of my mind. And so my goal was, well, this is way back in like 2005 or so. So we're talking almost 20 years ago. I said, well, if I could learn how to secure $10,000 weddings, people would listen to me. And maybe I could start my teaching career if I could do that. And, on top of that, win some awards and things like that. So a lot of my career was just trying to figure out and go through this journey myself on how to book these luxury weddings and what the process that you need to go through, what's the skill level. And so I did that. And on the way, I was able to use that to kind of launch my teaching career. I started a Zanga blog. I don't even know if you know what that is, but we're going to the Wayback Machine if you know what a Zanga is. It's one of the first blog kind of formats. And there's actually like a lot of Asians on there. I mean, it was everything, but I said, I want to teach, but nobody's asking me to teach. So I go, well, I'm just going to start teaching on a blog. And believe it or not, in 2003, I started a blog. I was one of the first to teach photography on a blog. And then before you know it, I had people from all over the world tuning in and very interested in my blog, which I religiously posted at least three times a week, a large blog article about photography and also my life, because I had to make it interesting too. I wanted people to get to know me as a person too. And so I started it there, and then it grew and grew and grew, and other photography organizations saw it and said, hey, can you speak at our professional organization? We like what you're doing. And then it started right from that, but it started from the blog to get me noticed. And then more official organizations saw that. And then I started teaching there. I started entering awards and I started winning awards. So these major organizations like WPPI were noticing me at the same time. And then it just so happens that the head of education of WPPI, who knew me, went over to Creative Live, and she ran the, Arlene Evans, she ran the education there, and she saw my name on the list there of future instructors and pushed me right up to the top.
Oh, that's how awesome. That happened. Oh.
Yeah, and then I also spoke at this, I think they were checking me out, but I also spoke at this like WPPI. They used to tour the country and do these little things. And then Sue Bryce also saw me speak there and said, oh man, she gave my endorsement to, oh, we got to get this Scott Robert Lim guy on. He's like amazing. So Sue Bryce really helped me too and said, we got to get Scott on Creative Live. And boom, that's how it happened. And so Creative Live is what was the largest photography teaching format in the world. And so I launched that and got success on that. But the thing is, I wasn't the first one. I mean, I saw people on there for years and years and years, and people kept on asking, Scott, why are you not on? I go, I don't know. Write them a letter. And I got upset because I'm like, man, I'm just as good as those people. I should be on there too. But guess what? I needed those years of seasoning. So when I went on there, every lecture was tested and fine-tuned, because I had been given those lectures around the country and the world. And every time I do a lecture, I make it better and better and better. So by the time I was on Creative Live, I knew all the punchlines. I knew what to say to make people laugh. I knew every point that was going to hit home to people. So I was very well rehearsed and I was prepared for the transition.
Can you tell me about what that transition you're talking about is?
So I'm talking about the transition being a professional photographer and then now given an opportunity to showcase my teaching skills on Creative Live. And so Creative Live was such a huge platform that it was a huge opportunity. Basically, the whole photography industry was watching because that was the only game in town at the time. Now there's YouTube and now there's like all this other stuff. So when I was given that chance in 2013, I had been teaching since 2005. Although, yes, what was it, 8 years? 8 years of wanting to go on there and then finally getting my chance. But when I went on there, boom, I killed it because I was prepared. So, you know, it's kind of like they always say, when preparation meets opportunity, that's what luck is. That's what you have to be prepared, being able to step in that moment when you're called. And sometimes it's not going to be a preparation of 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. In my case, it was 8 years of preparing me for that moment and then seizing it and then launching my career from there.
I'm so pleased that you shared that information. I'm in the process of preparing a course. Kind
You'll be fine.
I recently, I thought of you because I recently taught a course on how to photograph dark skin, black skin, essentially. And I had you, and at times you were in my mind. I swear. I was on a shoot yesterday, and I was telling the model, nose to the light. Oh gosh, Scott. Oh, that's perfect. One of the other things that I've admired about you, Scott, is not only are you a photographer, you're an educator, but you also have products. And I think at the time when I first took your class in Paris, that's
Or
when I took your
London?
class.
No,
We took,
Paris.
I, yeah, this is how much of a fan I am, everyone. I took the class in Paris, and then a few weeks later, I
It's
took your
London or
London
something,
course.
or yeah.
Yeah, I took it back to back, so that was a lot of fun.
A lot of people have done that, by the way.
Oh, you mean I'm not special, Scott?
Well, you are special.
I'm
Yes.
joking.
But don't feel like a weirdo.
Oh. I don't think that there are many photographers that. Oh, I don't think you're a photographer. I think you're an entrepreneur. I think you always try to think about how to change the game. Can you tell me the story of how you came to create your own
Yeah,
flash
I love this
systems?
story. Well, when I was just going to these conventions and a nobody and listening to people and being on the bystander, not really a speaker, I noticed back in the 2000 era and maybe even before then, every kind of nationally recognized speaker had some sort of product or software. They had a bag or they had a light diffuser that perhaps maybe looked like Tupperware that you put on your flash.
Gary Fong.
Yes, Gary Fong was the inspiration. And, they had other people make other things, and then maybe some people had software, album design, or whatever, because you had to just being asked to speak wasn't quite enough to earn a living. You had to have something else to kind of help you support yourself if you're going to be a professional speaker. So I was trying to figure something out. And so I go, what could I have? What? I just was racking my brain. And then at my very first Paris workshop, the last day, and this one of the students was asking me about off-camera flash and go, okay, let's go outside and practice. And I didn't have like, oh, I don't have my flashes here. Oh, he said, I got some flashes. And we're practicing off-camera flash. And he was using this system that was working quite well. And I go, well, those aren't pocket wizards, because everybody had pocket wizards back then. And he goes, ah, no, these are these like this brand I got in China, and they're extremely low-cost units. I go, oh my gosh, wait a second, really? Because I think Pocket Wizards were like at the time, I think they were like $200 of each, and you needed at least two, a transmitter and a receiver, right? And he said he got these things for like $30. And I go, oh my gosh, really? And I had to research in it. And so basically, I did a lot of research and got somebody in China to manufacture my own triggers. So therefore, I was able to bring this because everybody was spending, to do three to actually trigger three flashes, it was going to cost you like $800, right? But I came in and said, hey, listen, you can get the triggers and the flashes and everything for half the price, for 400. And that was a huge hit because I was able to show, I think it's combined with my teaching. It just wasn't product, but I was actually able to take this low-cost product and show you how to do professional quality shots and lighting from it at a low cost. And so, I bundled it with a learning guide and all this kind of stuff so people could learn it. That was like a huge hit for a long time until, because of course technology always changes. And then Godox came along and crushed my business. Because basically, who's going to compete with them? Because they came out with something called High Speed Sync, which revolutionized the flash world. And literally, if you could have heard me, Martin, 2-3 years before High Speed Sync, I was begging my manufacturer, can you produce something for me that's High Speed Sync? Can you please? Can you please? Can? And he just didn't want to invest the money into doing it. And consequently, I just knew the writing on the wall. And then Godox came in and they just took me out. But it was a great ride because I was able to provide and earn a great living from that product with my teaching. And so that's the story of that. The rise and fall of the Scott Robert Lim Tiny Triggers.
But you have to pivot. I'm sure that you have something coming down the pike. And you mentioned your book. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the six-figure artist. And I go through my process on how an artist can have a career being an artist. I felt that was very important. It's not just for photographers, but I feel artists can benefit from this book. Just having a 20-year career being an entrepreneur and being an artist providing for myself and my family, that's kind of a rarity. So I think my experience in trying to navigate and, like you say, pivot, have different revenue streams and all that kind of stuff in your mentality, not only just being able to master your technical skills, but also just understanding business, understanding how people work and how businesses work, and how do you go from a nobody to somebody. Like, for example, you know, I'm a Sony artisan, as you know, and there's only like maybe 35 Sony artisans in the entire country, right? And I'm like, am I one of the 35 top photographers in the country? Probably not, but how did I get there, right? I'm pretty good. I feel like I'm actually more than a little bit pretty good, but I'm real good. But I wouldn't say, yes, I'm definitively the top 35 photographers in the country, but somehow I got there. And the other guys didn't. How did I climb that one in a million chance of getting there? And this book kind of details that process and the skills that you have to know, not only mastering on how to master your own industry, but some of the other types of skills you need to have to get yourself at the top of the list.
Oh, that sounds good. Are we going to be able to pre-order it, Scott?
Yeah, well, it's the ball's on me because it's actually written already, and I just need to find people that I can interview, and we want to try to find some high-profile people, but I don't know a lot of high-profile people, you know, but I want to have people who have maybe millions of followers or something like that and kind of interview them. And so they can, their journeys, parts of their journey can kind of coincide with my book. So if you know anybody who's kind of a high profile artist that I could interview their process and their journey, that'd be great. So we want to have kind of like an example at every chapter.
So mainly in the photography space?
We want anything. It could be dancing. It could be movies. It could be whatever, painting. It could be, I know a sculptor who's my friend, but it could be an author. It could be whatever. Anything that you can deem as an artistic career, whatever that means.
A great place to start, Scott, is on this website called This Is Colossal.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely check it out.
They list artists all the time, and a lot of the artists that they list, these are artists from all types of spaces, whether they're figurative artists or they're making sculptures or they're using other mediums. They do a great job with featuring lots of different folks. That's how some of the folks who've been on the podcast have met them through there. Is Colossal.
Got it.
Wow, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, so, you know, it's tough. I mean, I did lose a lot of money during the pandemic. And so, but now things are getting back up to normal. And so it's not like I was had the perfect transition, but I did transition and survive. And so this is what I always tell people. Sometimes your best year is surviving. Because what's your options? Failing and getting out of the business, right? And so that year that you can survive, usually the next year is going to get better, and maybe it could be your colossal year, you know, coming up next, but you had to survive to get, you know, that pot of gold. You're going to learn the most through that survival year. And that's what I try to do. Every time I have a situation or a problem, I just learn from it and move on.
That's really great advice. I wanted to ask you, in the process of creating about 45 hours of content and releasing it to the world, are you surprised in terms of the pieces of content that are getting more traction than others?
You know what? I don't even follow the metrics on that at all. But honestly, I think people get it. I would be surprised if people go through the whole thing. I think for the first time, I laid down 14 hours of just post-processing. And my work, if you look at it, is very post-processed because I kind of instill my vision. So like I'll take the picture, but post-processing will also extend my vision for that photo. And so I think that's the first time I've laid down my philosophies behind it and a step-by-step method on how I arrive at my signature style. And so I think that's what's new going to it. But what I really love about it, and I think people kind of buy it because it's like a textbook. When you get that, let's say you're in accounting and you have that one book that you can refer to, pull it off the shelf when you need to learn something. And let's learn a little bit about composition. It's like my composition hasn't been that great. Okay, let me see what Scott has to say. Boom, it's right there at your fingertips. Or posing or lighting or whatever it is, right? You can just now look it up. And it's very specific. There's 250 lessons on there. So you can just go there and find what you need and refer to it. It's not like somebody's going to sit there and go through every single hour, but it's like an encyclopedia and a textbook, just boom, ready for you to consume when you want it.
Yeah. And you're really known for your color toning. I've always admired that. It's just so cinematic.
Yes. That's kind of like how I describe my style now, as cinematic portrait stories.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I know that we are coming up to the time that we have together.
That was so fast.
Oh, it goes by really fast. Usually I try to stick to three questions, but it never happens. Well, I'm feeling a little selfish about having you on, mainly because, as I mentioned, I'm creating this class on... one on how to break into the lifestyle and commercial photography landscape, because I don't think, at least when I wanted to enter that world, there wasn't much on it. It's a very closeted
it space. Is.
So creating something on that, and I'm also creating a course on how to create a personal strategic plan, because I think a lot of people, when they enter the photography space, and especially if they're freelancing, they can kind of let life happen to them instead of really deciding where they want to go. So,
see,
yes.
That's what I said about you. Everything that you do is intentional. That's what I noticed with one of your strengths, you know, and that's what you're teaching about it. That's awesome.
I'm kind of freaked out, but I wanted to ask you about pep talks. So when you have to give yourself a pep talk, what are some of the things you say to yourself?
That's good. You know what? I just had to have a pep talk with myself. I'm going to be completely transparent here. Because of the pandemic, I was a little bit uncertain about when I should start doing international travel for my workshops, and when are people going to be comfortable with that? And then on top of that, I think deep inside of me is like, I was doubting myself. Well, if I put one out there, would anybody go to one? right? Because it's been so long that they forget about me or whatever, right? And so I lost a bit of my confidence. And I had to slap myself around and say, you know, I think looking at your previous success too helps. And like for me, I just was looking back and I go, you know, I had some doubts about this workshop or that workshop and people came to it. Yeah, I might have not as made as much money as I wanted to, but every single workshop that I did, people came and I made money from it. So why are you, so it's kind of my own logic, why don't you just put it out there? And I think risk is something you have to develop. It's building muscle. You're not going to all at once lift up and bench press 500 pounds. I could never do that anyways. But, you know, maybe you start off with 50 and then you work your way up. But if you're not used to taking risks, start with small ones, but start somewhere. You know, so if you're having some doubts about yourself or whatever, maybe that risk you feel like it's 2 feet away. Don't take a 2 foot risk. Just take a 6 inch one or a 4 inch one or a 1 inch one and then build it from there. But you have to learn how to take risks. That is the huge thing, is risk, overcoming that. And that takes practice. And the more and more you do, we're always going to be a bit scared, but our previous successes is going to help us, enable us to keep on taking those risks. And I've been doing that basically all my life, from dropping right out of college and then going from there. So I think that's the process, really, is risk and building up your ability to risk more and more.
And if anyone could book a workshop like that, it's you, Scott. Come on now.
Well, okay. I say this. Now, here's the difference in me. I've been teaching for like 20 years, right? Almost 20 years now. Everybody has taken a workshop from me. I've been around so long, right? I've been the gal that everybody's dated already, right? Okay, well, I took Scott back in 2013. I don't need to learn from him anymore. And so people don't realize that I've evolved too, and that my teaching methods are way, 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 way better. I was actually more popular during 2013, probably through 2016, than I am now. But what's ironic is now I feel like I'm 10 times the educator than I was back when I was most popular. So it's kind of like a movie star, right? You see them rise and fall, and very few kind of come back and have a career later. And so that's what I have to battle with. It's like I'm the old movie star that's trying to get a gig here and there. And finally, when you go see that movie star's movie, you go, oh, wow, that dude's a pretty good actor or actress, you know? So that's what I have to contend with. Anyways, I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining that I've taught a lot of people.
Yeah. And you're just a person too. I mean, you're world known, but at the end of the day, you're just you, and you're like all of us.
Definitely.
But much more talented.
I don't know about that. I try awfully hard, but I want to share everything that I know, though. That's for sure.
That is for sure. Well, I appreciate you, and I'm definitely going to buy your color toning effects, because I think that's one place where I'm not so strong.
I think the best way is if you could show up at a workshop where I'm teaching that, because I'm learning more and more, so I can easily talk about that and show how to do that as I get better and better at Photoshop. But definitely come and say hi. You can come for free too. How's that?
Oh, thank you, Scott. You can come to for free at my workshop whenever.
Well, we should combine, and maybe I do my post-processing thing and you do your thing or whatever.
Oh, that would be fun.
Something together.
Wouldn't that be fun? That would be a lot of fun. Thank you so much. I am so pleased that we were able to chat. And I don't think I would be the photographer I am without you, Scott. I swear.
Oh, that's so nice to say.
I'm so grateful for you And I am pleased that you're continuing to pivot, and I can't wait to see your star continue to rise.
Thank you so much, and it was an honor being on your podcast.
Thank you. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Oh, man, it's been forever.
I think at least 4 years.
I love your glasses, as this looks so awesome.
They're a bit much, but I'm a bit much, so it's great.
Has it been 4 years? Oh, my gosh. That's the last time we were in New York.